Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Happy Thursday, 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Mac, Dusty with you here, 6 a.m., ready to rock and roll. We're 2 days closer. You get to sleep tonight, sleep Friday night, and then bam, finally this game can be played.
I'm ready for this game, man. I was ready for this game on Tuesday, and then I got even more ready for it on Tuesday afternoon when the left tackle conversation started to take place around this organization. But I think they're ready to go. I feel like the, as they say, the hay's in the barn, and they're ready to go because this. What is today? Thursday. So this is a Friday for the the Chiefs, right? This Friday at Arrowhead today.
Andy Reid will speak for 25 seconds and then be gone,
and then be done. So today is Friday, which means they're putting the finishing touch. On things. They'll do a little bit of a walkthrough tomorrow on Friday, which is a Saturday, and then they'll play on Saturday, which is technically a Sunday, I guess, in Chiefs Kingdom. So at least they're not playing on a Wednesday, and then we're really screwed to try to figure out what the hell day it is, right? if Wednesday's a Sunday, figure it out yourself.
So they literally played every day of the week this year?
Except Tuesday. Tuesday was the only day that the Chiefs didn't play. And you know what's going to happen next year. They're playing play on Tuesday. There'll be a Tuesday special that Hulu's going to buy, or that Tubi's going to buy, or some other rando streaming service out there that somebody's going to pay $25 million for a Tuesday game. Mm-hmm. And it'll be the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Buffalo Bills smack dab in the middle of November.
What was it, COVID? Is that when they played on a Tuesday night? It was doubleheader or something?
I think that was a Tuesday against Buffalo, actually. I think it was, yeah.
It's kind of nice.
It was. It was I know nobody wants to go back to that time, though, but from a sports fan standpoint, just having random NFL games on random days of the week,
that's wild.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because then you'd have half the team would test positive, so they couldn't, because then it would get to the point where it's well, this guy tested positive, but they could still play the game.
Right.
Which is why we were robbed of Mahomes versus Rodgers. We've still yet to see that game.
Yeah, we may never see that game.
I don't think
it depends on where he goes next year.
He goes to Vegas,
right?
To see it twice.
Yeah.
Do you really want to see that game now?
That's one of those things, you meet your heroes. They always say you don't want to meet your heroes. Not that Aaron Rodgers is anybody's hero, but if you were to have that game now, that would be really, Aaron Rodgers, good Lord. I mean, that's a corpse out there right now. Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Sam Darnold as your quarterback next year?
Darnold. Because at least he won't go out there and try to
sabotage the team. Yeah. That is true. That's a fair point right there. Yeah.
You'd be reluctant either way, but it's
Yeah, but neither of them is good.
Right.
But Darnold ain't going to go out there and work behind everybody's back, stab everybody in the back, get everybody fired and, go 4-14 or whatever the Jets were this year.
You said a would you rather. So did you watch any of that KU game last night?
I did. I watched about the first half of that game. Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah. I mean, the reason college basketball, right? For me, last night was kind of a microcosm of that. Nobody can hit a shot. And they just take three-point shot after three-point shot after three-point shot.
This is why the NBA is underrated. Because everybody's they just shoot all the time and score. It's because they're really good at it.
Yeah. They're good at it. No, I don't mind NBA players shooting the three because they can actually make the shot. But college kids, for the most part, just can't make the shot. But they're going to continue to take the shot.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know, because to me, this is where like you kind of get that. You kind of get to dip into college basketball right now because it is conference play. Like last night was number 2 versus number 9.
That's a big game.
That was Iowa State's Super Bowl.
Yep.
Right. And they don't really have anything else other than Iowa State basketball in there. Either Iowa or your Iowa State, obviously. But this is where you can kind of watch because you're waiting for things to start, or you're pivoting to the NBA, or maybe you're watching guys' grocery games. I'm just describing myself at this point.
Sure.
But you tune into these games, you kind of see what these teams are about. And I think the biggest takeaway that I had last night, because I've got a group text of like half of the guys are Mizzou fans, the other half are like KU fans. And I, made a text that one of the KU fans didn't like. And he was like, oh, yeah, let's just bitch about a 9 seed that has, 6 losses on the season. I said, no. I said, the original text was, this isn't your typical or classic Bill Self Kansas team. And I think what you're seeing in college basketball is that now, like in college football, everybody's got money.
That's exactly right.
Everybody's got the opportunity to transfer, right? Yep. And there are schools like Mizzou that every year will just hit the transfer portal. And Denny Gates will go try to find 5 players that can play his system, and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. Whereas KU's a school that has obviously the money to do it and the history and all that, Bill Self, where I think they're a team, and I was telling Alex Gold this yesterday, where they're a team like UConn, where you recruit your guys, you make sure they're paid with NIL, and you keep them. You don't go get the guy that's going to be there for a year and leave, or the guy that's going to play 1 year and go to the NBA. You have to build those foundational sort of teams, because you look at what Hurley did at UConn. Back-to-back titles. Hard to do, but he did it with like the same core of guys. They stuck around, they bought in. Whereas like not everybody has that capability to go pick guys out of the portal and put something together and make it work. And this has been like probably the biggest struggle that Bill Self, again, look, they've only lost 4 games.
Yeah, but that's a big number for KU at this point of the season.
They're 3-2
right?
In the conference. They've lost at home to West Virginia. They lost at Iowa State. That's a tough game.
Tough game.
Right? And they still beat the other teams. But like you're starting now to see like the division in the college sport of basketball, at least from what I've seen in a matter of like 2 weeks of watching it, is that like Tennessee's the number 1 team.
Auburn is the number 1 team now, I think, aren't they? Did they lose or Tennessee?
Like Tennessee lost to Florida, got smoked.
Yep.
Then Missouri beats Florida. Then Iowa State plays Kansas, beats Kansas. Kansas loses to West Virginia. There's just so much more, which I think will make for a more fun March Madness tournament like we've seen in the past, like the equal sort of talent that is around there. But like to think that like Bill Self is going to just cruise through the Big 12 and going to go 29-3 every year again is I think erroneous now, because I think everybody else now has a piece or has the opportunity to take a piece of that pie.
They do. And that's the beauty of the NIL, and that's the beauty of the transfer portal. But that's also the downfall for fan bases like Kansas, like Duke, like Kentucky, like North Carolina, that are used to being on the top of the perch right now. The people who are going to be affected most by NIL, and I say this about football too, I mean, eventually your Alabamas, your Ohio States, and places like that are probably going to take a little bit of a hit, because there's going to be other programs that come in and offer money, like BYU in basketball paying some kid $7 million. Nobody thought that would be, the case, that BYU was going to go out there and dominate on, the basketball recruiting end. And so they were able to do that. But I think, as a fan of a big time program, if you are like, if you're a KU fan right now, you really do have to adjust your expectations, because all of college basketball, all of college sports right now is undergoing a change. And while I think a lot of KU fans probably like the NIL from a football perspective, because it allows you to go out and get football players, from a basketball perspective, it's going to be kind of a wake-up call. There's no secret as to why Coach K, Jay Wright, and Roy Williams all walked away. They didn't want to deal with this kind of stuff. They knew eventually their perch wasn't going to be that high anymore. The playing field was going to start to get equal. And Bill Self has done his best work at KU and won his championships at KU when he was able to have those 4-year classes. That's just not the case anymore. You can't expect anymore people to come in and play 6 years like Perry Ellis, or 17 years like this Hunter Dickinson. Like, this is not going to be the case anymore. Every year now that ends, you basically have to recruit your team all over again. And that's going to get old. It really is. It's going to get old for a lot of fans. And I think it's going to get old for guys like Bill Self, who are up there like, all right, I've had enough of this stuff, because you're dealing with players right now who are hearing from other teams, hearing from other agents. Hey, we can pay you this kind of money. We can get you that kind of cash. We'll pay you more than what Kansas is paying you right now. And so it's open season on recruiting after every year. And Bill Self's best opportunities and best chances to win have always been with those four-year kids. And I don't know that that's going to be the case anymore. And the reason I say fans need to adjust their line of thinking, I saw this tweet from a guy watching the game last night, Big JKU316. And he says, KU basketball just deserves better. Regardless of what all Twitter hacks want to tell you, KU spends too much money and has too much support for it to be like this. This is a guy who's rooting for the number 9 team in the nation right now, right? Like, so adjust your expectations. There are no more guarantees that KU is going to skate to a Big 12 championship, that they're going to have a run roughshod over the Big 12 conference, or any school's going to do that right now in college basketball, because the ground has changed, the landscape has changed, everything is completely different from what we used to know. And I do like it better big picture, because we're finally taking care of the players. And if that means some teams have to take a step back and some teams move forward, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think to go back to your original take, I think Roy and Coach K probably stepped down because of just like age and health. Like Roy was falling apart. Like he was
collapsed. This pushed it, you know?
Yeah. Jay Wright, I can't really defend. I think he probably got into TV. It was like everybody else that does it. It's like, this is kind of nice. I don't have to recruit.
But he got into TV because this pushed him into TV. And then it's like, right, I ain't going back to that.
And yeah, I mean, obviously you're going to have emotional fans because you lose a game. But again, you lost to Iowa State on the road.
That's right.
You have 4 losses on the season. You're 3-2 in conference. And I think the other thing too is you look at conference realignment. Like you have teams in the Big 12. Like Houston's in the Big 12. They're a good team. They will always be a good team. I mean, Calvin Sampson gets that team.
He's a great coach.
He knows how to recruit, legally or illegally, back in the day, but now he doesn't have to worry about any of that.
None of that, yeah. Kelvin can make all the phone calls he wants now, and Bruce Pearl can cook all the hot dogs he wants at Tennessee.
And that's the thing. It's like, I think KU will still probably finish the season with maybe like 6 or 7 losses and 26, 27 wins. They'll be a 3 seed in the tournament.
They're still going to be a top 3 or 4 seed in the NCAA tournament.
I think the reality of it is the fact that it's not like every year you're going to go 2 losses in the conference, maybe one tough one to, you know, in Bramlage, where you might have to play a rowdy K-State team that's always up to play you, and then you might lose at Iowa State, and then the rest of the season you're just going to skate through it. Well, now you have UCF, you have Houston, you have, you know, Iowa State's gotten really good. Their coach, he knows how to do 3 things really well. Recruit kids, he knows how to wear a very small, tight shirt, yep, and how to comb his hair. That shirt's got to get a little looser. Mm-hmm. That made me, it was giving me like, you know, I was like,
yeah, I thought he was going to suffocate in that thing.
That's his style, baby. He lets those pythons show.
But good for them at Iowa State, man, for doing this the right way and paying the right players and getting them in there and being the number 2 team in the nation. And they beat Kansas by almost 20 points last night.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas kind of quit towards the end. Like they hit a 3, it was like 15, and it was just kind of like one of those things where the kid's like, all right, it's over, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, KU got it down to 5. They missed a free throw rebound. Could have gotten down the court, made a bucket. Iowa State got the rebound, a better hustle play, hit the 3, won. The other thing, too, is that, like, you're going to miss in transfers, too. Like, there's a reason why Hunter Dickinson's still in college.
Right.
He's soft.
Right.
Right. There's a reason why Juwan Harris is still playing point guard for Kansas. He's not going to be a pro.
Right.
So he's
good enough. And that's fine. That's fine to be a college kid and just play college basketball. But we've taken that away.
You look at Mizzou last year, didn't win a conference game. This year, they look fantastic.
It doesn't matter what you did last year, right, anymore. And with the NIL, like all these football teams like KU that didn't have success this year, go out and spend some money, get some players in there, find you a quarterback, and all of a sudden you're back, you know, to winning football games. And it's that way for basketball. And it's good for the fans.
Do you have an issue with looking ahead? I ask that because so many coaches do that, and then it just never goes well. We'll bring that up on the other side. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
So I did a deep dive on X, formerly known as Twitter, about, what we did our poll question on yesterday?
Yeah.
The left tackle position.
Who ended up winning that yesterday? I would imagine Tooney did, but it probably wasn't by as big a margin.
I think it was 62%.
Right?
I'm scrolling down to get the actual factual number. 61.1% to 38.9% said Joe Tooney out of 535 votes.
Still amazes me that it was that close, you know?
Seriously.
Technically a landslide, but still, I mean, that's a lot closer than I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be an 80-20 split. I really did.
Yeah, 4 out of every 10 people are like, yeah, DJ. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
what is today, the 16th? No. Yeah, 16th. 2 days away from the playoff game against the Houston Texans, which, you know, you can't look too far ahead. You can't think about who you're playing in the AFC, in the AFC championship game, because you're not there yet. Because you see a lot of these people that get, and there's audio of this that I'm going to bring up. I'll go get it later. But there's a couple of instances where, I don't know, like, the Minnesota one wasn't Kevin O'Connell's fault, but you remember when Dan Campbell was like, I'll see you in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And then the Rams put the audio up on the wall,
right,
which whatever that means.
Right.
Can't do that. And then our guy, Sean Payton, said that he never lacks confidence and that he was looking forward to seeing the Chiefs for a third time. Quote, there's a lot of confidence in this team. If we could get past that game, the next game we felt real good about.
Yeah, that would be us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You beat the backup scene. Yeah,
and see, that's so this is relevant to a conversation that I've had, you probably have with friends of yours as well, Mac as well. And people were like, yeah, I don't know if I want to play the Broncos because I don't want to play him for a third time. Well, you didn't really play him three times.
Right.
Right. Like your backups played. And they have to come here in the playoffs with Bo Nix. And we saw what Bo Nix looks like in the playoffs on the road. It wasn't good, right? It
was not good. No.
82 yards after the first drive and then threw for 0 yards passing in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, this is why a lot of people get annoyed with Andy Reid with his like press conferences, because sometimes when you play a team that's just like not as superior as you, like say you're playing Carolina.
Okay.
What's Andy Reid going to say when they bring him to the podium?
We're looking forward to the challenge of playing Carolina. Well-coached team.
That's a
good team down there. Yep.
Never, ever, ever are you going to hear Andy Reid be like, yeah, we're really, listen, we're looking to play this team next week, the to Buffalo and Baltimore.
Right.
Andy's got those guys. Like, he knows what they're going to do. He doesn't need to focus on that yet.
Right.
You got to focus on the now. And you can't focus on the then or the future or anything like this because, yeah, you want to play the Chiefs, man. But, like, if that was the mindset, and I get it, confidence and the quote could be misguided, whatever you want to say. But, like, I'm glad you have confidence in your team. But, like, if you were thinking about the Chiefs before you were focusing on the Bills, that's why you got blasted 30-7. Like, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that, like, you have that energy and that confidence. But again, you've got to like maintain, you know, low tones when it comes to what's next, because there is no tomorrow. There is no, it's you win or you go home. And, you know, that's why I think so many of the good teams in the NFL are where they are, because they know what they have to focus on. They can't worry about, yeah, because like I guarantee you right now, Josh Allen ain't talking to his teammates like, hey, man, we win this game, we get Kansas City again. They're focusing on Baltimore.
Yeah, you got to focus on Baltimore.
We're not looking backwards. We're looking ahead. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the division, you know, and there's a lot of confidence in this team. If we could get past that game, the next game we had to play, we felt real good about.
So that's Sean Payton talking about the potential of playing the Chiefs. Here's the thing. Sean doesn't have a game to get ready for this week, so he's got nothing else to do except, you know, talk. That right there, I hate to break the news to Denver fans. As long as Sean Payton's the coach of the Denver Broncos, they will not be beating Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you gave Patrick Mahomes bulletin board material for next year. And I will say this, other than that 38-0 game with the backups in there, Denver has played Kansas City very good at Arrowhead Stadium two times since Sean Payton has taken over, right? That first Thursday night game where they almost won, and then obviously the block field goal game. Fantastic performances by Denver. But you beat the Chiefs in two consecutive years, one where Patrick Mahomes had the flu and couldn't stand, and two, you beat the backups. And so you've had some success of keeping it close against the Chiefs, but against the real Chiefs, the Denver Broncos have yet to win. So when Sean Payton says that kind of stuff, I start to think to myself, why are you saying this stuff now? Like, why are you stirring up the Hornet in January when there's no need to do that? Because that's what that did yesterday. That stirred up the Hornet's nest here in Kansas City. And Patrick Mahomes, he took those notes, he wrote those down, closed his book, and when the schedule comes out, he'll have those Bronco games circled, because now Sean Payton and his team believe that they've arrived and they're ready to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. And I hate to break the news to Sean Payton, those 16-14 games, those close games that you were playing with the Chiefs are probably now going to turn into blowouts, because now it got personal.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he bookmarked it, but I think Mahomes is, I think he's too focused on what time it is. Like, I think
early, he's aware of everything.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. I mean, I'm sure he bookmarked it and just, you know, set it back, and then when they play each other,
yeah,
again,
we'll get
next
back
year,
to it later.
It'll be like, yeah, we're really just, you know, and he leaves little, like, little Easter eggs whenever he says stuff every once in a while.
Yep.
But no, he's already on Instagram putting up pictures of himself in the practice at St. Joe throwing the football. I was like, that's where the season started. It was posted, I think, about an hour ago. So he's up and at it early. I do think that, like, this is kind of one of those things where, like, I get what Sean Payton is saying. I think he just said it in a weird way. Like, I think if he was like, yeah, we just didn't play good against Buffalo, like, they outplayed us, they outmatched us, but, you know, we really want another shot at Kansas City, and we were really hoping that we'd get that. It's like, nah, that's probably the way you want to say it. Like, don't say we were looking forward to the next week's matchup, because, like, Buffalo, like, if
there
you
is no next week, you don't take care of this week.
Right, if you can't beat Buffalo, then you definitely can't beat Kansas City in the playoffs. Like,
right.
But ask Buffalo about Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they know who's there. Everybody that's left in the playoffs outside of Houston, because they're actually going to be here, but Buffalo and Baltimore, they know exactly where the AFC Championship game is. Hell, they know who's going to be in it because he's been in it every year he's been a starting quarterback.
That's right.
Everybody already knows where you're going to have to go or who you're going to have to beat in the AFC Championship because it's always been Patrick Mahomes since he's been in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't exercise that, right? They don't bring that out. Like, Lamar Jackson is like, we got a cold-ass game in Buffalo this week, and that's what I'm focused on. I know where the AFC Championship game is. I know who's going to be in that game.
But you got to win this week to get
right,
to that game.
Because it's irrelevant until it's relevant.
Absolutely.
Which is the obvious take. But
yeah,
I mean, I think that that's where that matters. Like, if Sean Payton's like that hung up on the Chiefs, it's like, hey, man, like, you know, you got to focus on what your matchup is this week and then move on. Because, again, you look at the thing in Minnesota, right? Like, McVay heard that from Dan Campbell. Bookmarked it and said, see you in 2 weeks. Like, we're going to lose?
Yeah, right.
Like, no, you're not. Like,
no, we're going to win.
This is going to be at our house. It wasn't. It eventually was in Arizona. But again, like, that was a masterclass of a leadership of a coach with Sean McVay because he went out there. He gave his guys just enough. Like, I'm not saying you have to put, like, videos and do what we do, like we're going to do tomorrow, and play all these Chiefs receipts and all this stuff where people doubted Kansas City and try to build up the audience. I think all you've got to do is be like, hey, by the way, that team over there said you're going to lose, and I coached that coach over there, and I know exactly how to beat his ass, and watch me do it. Stafford, make sure we're doing this. Puka, make sure you're over here. And he beat him almost with a flex. Cooper Kupp was irrelevant.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp was irrelevant in that game. But that game, I think, and I was thinking about this the last couple of days, the leadership that Sean McVay showed in that game and really in this entire 2 weeks of what's been going on, you know, out in Los Angeles. Even LeBron weighed in on it yesterday. He goes, this has really taken a toll on everybody mentally. It's very tough to get through all this. And Sean McVay's team did not look like a team that was affected by what was going on with the wildfires and the displacement of everybody in Los Angeles. And to me, that's the definition of a true leader. And not enough is being made, I don't think, about how the Rams played and how Sean McVay led that team to a win over the Minnesota Vikings at a neutral site when everybody's dealing with real life stuff, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times in sports, we don't deal with real life stuff. The players never have to deal with anything that's real. But really, over the last 5 years, everybody has dealt with real life stuff from COVID to where we are right now with these wildfires out in LA. And he led. Harbaugh didn't. That's the difference between McVay and Harbaugh. Harbaugh's team went on the road and they looked completely out of sorts right from the get-go. I mean, it was not a good performance by them at all. And that's why coaches matter. That's why leadership matters. That's why I'm so hard on these coaches in the NFL, and I don't believe in a lot of these coaches in the NFL because I don't believe they're good leaders. I don't believe they're good leaders of men. And I don't care about, you know, your X's and O's and all that kind of stuff. If you can't be a communicator, if you can't be a leader, if you can't be somebody that everybody wants to follow, then you're not going to be a good head coach. And that's what happened with Sean McVay. He led his team and rolled the Minnesota Vikings. The other LA team wasn't led, and they pooped the bed. And, you know, you start to look about all these coaches that are left, other than the Eagles, which all of a sudden now all these stories on Nick Sirianni being this great players coach are starting to come out. Every one of these coaches that is left is more of a leader than they are of a coach. And that's why they're still standing. How good a coach is Dan Campbell? I don't know, but he's a leader. That guy is a leader. You're going to follow that guy, right? You're going to follow Andy Reid. You're going to follow D'Amico Ryans. You're going to follow Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh. I mean, you're going to follow Sean McDermott. Like, these guys are leaders right now that we have. And other than Nick Sirianni, that's why we're here. That's why these eight teams are left, because these coaches have led this organization. And when you can lead, you can win.
Yeah, I think lead's kind of vague, because I think there's the way you have to look at a head coaching is you have to have a system that's believable, achievable, and then you have to prove it. And I think when you look at these coaches that are left in here, like Dan Quinn took over in a perfect situation, in my opinion. He took an offensive coordinator who's got a little bit of clout that went away for a little bit, cleared his mind, came back, said, hey, we're going to have this rookie quarterback. I want you to go and check him out. Mm-hmm. I watched Zach Ertz's interview the other day on The Herd, and 12-year vet, right? And Kingsbury like called him and was like, hey, watch the rookie camp. And he's like, why? I'm a 12-year vet. Why do I watch?
What do I care, right?
Whatever. Yeah. He's like, watch this quarterback. And Zach Ertz watched the quarterback and rookie camp was like, okay, all right, this is nice, right? Like, this is what basically Kelsey did with Mahomes, right?
Yeah,
he like
right.
was, you know, whatever with Alex Smith, pretty good. And then realized like, all right, I'm going to turn my career completely around. It's believable. Andy Reid's draft this guy. He's going to put in a system that we're all going to jump on and we're going to move forward with this. Going for a three-peat.
Right. Who was the quarterback last year in Washington? It wasn't Taylor Heinicke. Was he last year or was he 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. Last year was Sam Howell.
Yeah.
The rookie out of North Carolina.
Thurston's kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
James's brother, who's a board op here.
Yeah.
So I think that's the other thing, too. Like, McVay, look, his system was believable. Jared Goff, you know, whatever, did well. Got Stafford. Turned the organization around, gave him a focal point, showed him what to do. It was believable. Whether or not we believe in Sirianni,
the players clearly do, I guess.
His record would indicate that he's doing something right.
That's
now, he
right.
has a super talented team. He's got a very good general manager, and he's making sure that it stays afloat until it doesn't, which is in the playoffs. But look, his win-loss record is probably the best in football in the last, what, like, in the NFC at least, in the last 3 years.
They've been great. They've been a good football
Campbell's
team.
Campbell's up
yeah.
there. He's up there.
McCarthy's probably up there.
McCarthy yeah. is up there, yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
so, like, when you look at these guys, that it, like, in the playoffs, like, John Harbaugh, his system, they went and drafted Lamar Jackson 32 overall because everybody thought, I don't know. He took a chance on Lamar. Mm-hmm. He turned Lamar into a believer and a two-time MVP, and so did Lamar. That system works, and they've moved forward. You look at everybody else in the AFC. Houston, they're doing that now,
yeah,
right?
D'Amico Ryans
went in there and said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lead with an iron fist, and we're going to be a defensive-minded team, and we're going to trust our offense and our rookie quarterback who's super talented. It's working. So, yeah, I mean, coaching matters, leadership matters, but if you have a system and it is believable and achievable, then everybody gets behind it. And that's why we always talk about this. You go back to St. Joe, it's hotter than hell, and it's in the middle of summer, and you have to go 45 minutes from your house, maybe more for other people. Hour and 20 minutes, whatever it may be. And it's like, why do they do this? Look where they're always
Look where
at.
They're
with
always
Andy
at. Yeah,
they've
they're
never
in the
had a losing season, and they're tighter than a pickle jar, like
yeah.
a lid on a pickle jar. They just, nothing gets out. Everything stays within the walls. And then it's all of a sudden 15-2, 14-3, 13-4. That's just what they are because everybody's bought in. Everybody believes.
And that's what you have to do. And that's why I look at a lot of these coaches in the NFL and you're like, oh my God, these guys are out over their skis like, a lot of the time.
Look at Arthur Smith, man.
Arthur Smith, not a good coach.
Look at the guy in, 2 years ago in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston. Pulled rank.
Yeah.
He was like, kneel
Dennis
it out.
Allen, right? Was that guy's name? Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. He's like, Jameis, kneel it out. And Jameis goes, we ain't doing that. Give this guy an incentive. Screw this guy. And he cost that coach basically his job because then the next year in the locker room, nobody listened to that coach and they fired him immediately, like
right.
halfway through the season.
Well, I think they fired him in week six this year.
Arthur Smith, same kind of guy in Atlanta. He's like, yeah, I just know more. It's like, when you let your ego take over what your team can be, then, and sometimes you have to have a little bit of an ego.
No, you do have to have an ego,
sure.
but you have to know how to utilize
right.
that ego.
McVay, Campbell, those guys, they know how to use their ego. Like
they're not telling everybody they're the smartest guy in the room.
No.
People just know that that's the guy that you're going to follow. And that's why hiring a head coach in this league, I think for a long period of time, and I think it's changing. It seems like it's changing a little bit this year. It seems like these teams are doing a little bit more due diligence right now. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Jets have interviewed 11 guys for their job, and the Bears have interviewed 13 guys for their job. And I know the Twitter, you know, smarties will say, oh, my God, that's so many people. I think it's great. Cast a wide net. See who's out there. See what you have the opportunity to do and to hire. And don't just be focused in on somebody because Peter Schrager said he's the next offensive coordinator that should be a head coach. I mean, like, and that's where it's been over these last couple of years. It's like, oh, well, we heard this guy's name on NFL Network in July. And so if he has a good season by the end of the year, we're going to hire him as a head coach. And and that's just not the way that you do it. Like I think Mike McCarthy right now is a guy that should have a job before any anybody else in this hiring cycle because he is a successful coach. Pete Carroll, I guess, is in the hiring cycle right now. He should be hired as well. But like Mike McCarthy, we were kind of talking about this yesterday. Guy gets fired in Dallas, three straight years of 12 wins or more. And I'm looking at Mike McCarthy and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I think Mike McCarthy gets the short end of the stick. It's easy to rip on Mike McCarthy. And I was one of those guys, like, because I was talking with Josh yesterday. He goes, you remember him now? I'm like, yeah, because I never remembered who he was up in Green Bay. But the more information that we're starting to get and starting to realize, Mike McCarthy has had to deal with two of the most narcissistic people in the history of the world, Jerry Jones and Aaron Rodgers, and still managed to win games by having to manage those egos. Look what Aaron Rodgers did to the Jets organization. Single-handedly destroyed that organization from the inside out. Imagine what he was doing in Green Bay, and Mike McCarthy held that thing together for all that time. Yeah, they only won one Super Bowl, but it may be a miracle that they won that Super Bowl with selfish Rodgers up there playing quarterback and being narcissistic. And then with Jerry Jones, I mean, my God, you went from one narcissist to the next narcissist. You didn't have your starting quarterback this year, and you still won five in a row at one point of the season. I think Mike McCarthy should be the guy that the Bears do go out there and hire. I think he's the best available coach right now.
So, yeah, I don't know. Look, we just talked about having, like, the believable and achievable system. Mike McCarthy, it just seems that, like, when the playoffs get there, it struggles. And, you know, you had Aaron Rodgers for those years in his prime, won one Super Bowl. Now, again, I don't know how much of that's on Rodgers or how much that is on game prep or how much that is, you know, altogether, whatever. Because I know that it got really sour between those two towards the end.
Sure. But Aaron Rodgers is the key in all of this. Like, he's the common denominator in every one of these things that have gone south.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is there. And so,
what I will say is the 2 years that McCarthy was at his worst was when Dak Prescott was out.
Right.
This year he was out. In his first year as head coach, he was out as well.
Right.
The next three, obviously, 12-win seasons. But again, like, last year you lost to the Packers with a rookie, not a rookie quarterback, but a young quarterback at home where you didn't lose all year, and somehow you lost.
Yeah.
Like,
got motorboated in that game, too.
That's got to be on McCarthy's shelf. And I think the other thing that I have been told and that I've read is that he's not, like, the most, I don't want to say family guy, but he's not the most, like, you know when Andy Reid walks in the locker room, he can tell you about, hey, how's your young kid doing, or how's this?
Yeah, he's got a connection with the players.
Right.
Yeah.
McCarthy's more of, like, just like a red-ass, like, introverted, like, doesn't really care. He just wants to get to business, move on, and do that. That's just from what I've been told, what I've read about him, and I think that goes a long way, too. So that obviously doesn't suit well with the two names that you mentioned in Rodgers and Jones. Like,
right.
When they have that kind of guy who's just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, hey, listen to me when I'm talking to you. It's like, then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, McCarthy's record in the regular season is fantastic. I believe he's 11-11 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So he's 500, which is still,
it's not bad.
I think we look at other people's record and you're like, well, Andy Reid's 43-17. It's like,
but look
yes,
at Andy Reid,
like,
before Patrick Mahomes, though.
Right.
You know,
never won in the playoffs really with Alex Smith.
Right.
Won one game, I think,
one
with
game,
Alex Smith.
One game, the Houston game. Yeah.
And then obviously had other losses, but I think that's the problem with McCarthy is I think that, like, his team doesn't necessarily have that connection. Now, again, this is why the other day we talked for many, many
segments.
Do you
think Bill Belichick cared about anybody's kids, though, either, you know, when he was the coach of New England?
Yes, because I think he was different to the media than he was to the players. I think he just didn't like answering questions. Like, you look at his personality now off the field, I think he was that guy in the locker room. But when everybody asked him questions about stuff that annoys him,
yeah,
right? Like, I bet Ned knew everybody's kids, but when everybody's,
everybody's
out there like, so you pitched blah, blah, blah in the eighth. Like, yeah, I pitched him in the eighth. I didn't have any other bullpen options, and he was coming off 2 days rest.
Yeah.
They get annoyed by that. That's why these guys are better now than they were, like Saban and Belichick, because, one, they're not prepping every single day. They're not, you know, getting ready for games. They're not having to answer questions.
Oh, I understand the answering of the questions and how it could get annoying.
I think that's the Belichick. Yeah, I think that's the Belichick thing. But I do think that, like, with McCarthy, there's something there, because to get one title with Rodgers, even if he was an a-hole, like, to get one title in that run where he was in his prime, it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Because, like, playoff football should have been a lot different, because
But ultimately, the players have to go out there and play.
Right. And I mean, the other thing, too, is that, like, for what, Mac, 5-6 years, Rodgers was the best quarterback of football, and it wasn't close.
But he didn't he lost to Eli in the playoffs.
Brady.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Twice.
I know. Yep. Twice in the Super Bowl. And it's not a shot at Eli.
The Giants are just that weird team that, like, just somehow, like, pissed a lot of people off, and it just happened twice.
Yeah. But people are talking about Eli getting ready to go to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Like, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. You can preach all you want about regular season, but when the big games came and he was in the playoffs, needed to make play, Eli made those plays, right? He was there. Aaron Rodgers didn't make those plays. And that's the difference between Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers. Like, Eli Manning made the plays when you need to make the plays. If Aaron Rodgers is going to have the title of being this great player, right?
Uh-huh.
You can't fail in the postseason. Eventually, you got to go out there and perform, right? Patrick Mahomes performs. Michael Jordan performs in the playoffs. The big-time guys, Tom Brady, all these guys that are considered the best, they show up when it matters the most. And Aaron Rodgers, you're the quarterback of the team. You are going to wear those losses more than anybody else. And I think we're starting to see with the way that this thing has gone on with the Jets, maybe Aaron Rodgers was a bigger problem, and maybe Mike McCarthy worked wonders there in Green Bay. I think he's going to be the next Bears head coach, and I think that's the right move for the Chicago Bears.
Well, he better figure out how to be more wholesome, because I don't think that's the right play for Caleb Williams. I think he needs a young offensive coordinator. I think he needs the Kevin O'Connell type. That's my opinion, though.
But the Bears also, I mean, they've had these coaches. Like, the Bears are in it. If the Bears were coming off Bill Belichick or Bill Parcells or Andy Reid or somebody like that, I would say, okay, I'm with you like that. The Bears need to find a way to revitalize their organization, bring credibility back to their organization, and win. And when Mike McCarthy has a good quarterback, he wins games.
Fair point. Doing a t-shirt drop off tomorrow at 11:30. Carrington and Rob, they'll be out there with t-shirts. Thanks to our friends over at DM Law. You know that Mike's got this coming up. Remakes. There's two new remakes they're making. I don't know why, and I don't know what they're going to do next, because I think there's a few that should just be completely off limits. 913-586-7965. That's Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Ah, take me back.
Mike Sherman.
Yeah, Sherman. Right.
Yeah.
So I nailed it.
You did. You said Sherman. Yeah, Mike Sherman is who Mike McCarthy replaced. You said, where did he come from? I said, I know he went to Baker. Other than that, I don't know where else Mike McCarthy. He was with the Chiefs from 93 to 94, 95 to 96 with the Chiefs. And then was the Green Bay Packer quarterback coach in 99.
Okay.
Quarterback coach with the Saints from 00 to 04.
Oh.
OC with the San Francisco 49ers in 05. And then moved on to be the Green Bay Packer head coach in 06. So.
Yeah, Sherman. Man, he had Amon Green, man.
Mm-hmm.
What a running back he was. I love that guy.
So McCarthy and Andy were together in Green Bay then for that year.
Yeah.
99. Wasn't that Andy's first year in Philadelphia?
I thought they were together that year. Maybe not. I'll have to look.
I think 99 was Andy's first year in Philadelphia. It sure seems like McCarthy replaced Andy with the Green Bay Packers at that point in time.
Wild.
At quarterback coach. Yeah.
Hmm. If you're familiar with the song that you hear, that is a theme from the movie The Goonies, correct? Yeah, that's what I thought. Did you like that movie?
Yeah, it was fun.
That was probably like in your wheelhouse growing up.
In the 80s growing up. Yeah, I don't know that I've watched it since I was a child.
Really?
Yeah.
I tend to watch it every once in a while. Look, I will say, because we were sitting in our post-production meeting yesterday, which is, if you want to know how that goes, we all sit in a chair and just start yelling at each other ideas. Like, it's not like it's not an angry yell.
No, it's just
talk. It's just that everybody gets on their phone because we're, you know, doing the show. We don't really tune into in depth. But it's just like, did you see this? Did you hear this? Did you see this? Hey, watch that AI Jerry Jones interview again.
All very disjointed.
Yes.
I fired him because he was a pork chop.
Yeah. That's all, folks. Did you know that when he says that, he's saying, I believe. Porky the Pig, he's going, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. That's all, folks. Today you learned? My sister told me that show last summer.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I just thought he was just making a noise.
Yeah, he's going, I believe,
that's all, folks.
He's going, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, that's all, folks.
Oh, I had no idea. Has Porky Pig been canceled yet? Because a lot of Looney Tunes have been, you know?
Yeah.
That was a Saturday morning, man. Loved it. Loved Looney Tunes.
But we were sitting there, and I got this, you know, announcement from like a movie following on Twitter or X, whatever. I don't even know what to call it. And
TikTok.
It said, well, you've got 2 days left of that. It said that they're going to do a remake of The Gremlins and The Goonies.
And that's when we ended the meeting and we all went our separate ways.
No, we ended the meeting because we got a FaceTime call. I said, you guys hear about Bailey Zappi? Where does he go next year? I'm kidding. Shout out Jay Binkley. But like, I feel like these are two movies that are just kind of untouchable. Like, I get remakes are going to happen because Hollywood's lazy and they don't know what they're going to do anymore. And I think I've told you guys this 100 times. This is why I think Christopher Nolan's so great. Like, guys like James Cameron are so great, and Spielberg and those guys, which even Spielberg kind of lost it because he just started doing Indiana Jones 5, 6, 7, 8. But you can't redo The Goonies.
So it's a 40th anniversary of The Goonies, you too, which is interesting. No, you look, I'll be honest with you. You shouldn't be redoing any movie, quite honestly.
Because what they'll do is, they'll try to like make it up to speed, where like
modernize it. Yeah,
they'll like because like the Goonies, right? Like if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but like the end, they get to the pirate ship. Kids there, like, wonder what's a pirate ship?
Yeah, right. Like you're not out like we right. as a kid growing up. You'd go out to the woods and do this kind of stuff because you didn't have anything else to do. Right? Kids today, they don't even know what the woods are. Mac, do you know what the woods are?
Okay.
there's a great Lord Huron song called Meet Me in the Woods Tonight.
Did you ever play in the woods as a kid?
All I did was play outside, Bob.
Yeah, that's all I did.
We had but he comes up in the generation where everybody's wearing a headset talking to somebody in France playing a video game.
That's
right?
Probably 5 or 10 years old, younger than me.
Younger than you? Okay.
Yeah, that's probably more like...
Just missed it, but you're right. It's right on the line.
It is.
I would say that's probably more like your kids' this generation.
Well, you know, my kids aren't... they're girls. They're not video gamers, but they're also not playing in the woods. And running around in creeks and, you know, creating whatever out there.
We grabbed a stick and made a game and, absolutely.
Like what we would do is, like, so, obviously, I grew up in the age of video games, right? I'm not going to lie to you.
We had the original Nintendo, but we only played on bad days, like if it was raining outside.
Right.
You know?
And, I mean, like, I think that, you know, we would, because there was, like, a wooded area where I grew up in Blue Springs, but also if, like, you walked far enough, it walked you right into McDonald's on Woods Chapel. So that gives people that live in Blue Springs where I lived, like we lived in a neighborhood, we go in this wooded area, we'd, you know, hang around, we found this old abandoned car, we found this like abandoned, like whatever, like little shed, and like that's what we did. But I mean, again, like that's the Goonies, they went on adventures, Goonies never die, shout out to the text line that said that. And like that's a movie that I just don't think that you can reinvent. Like that's a movie where like, it's always going to be Chunk to me. It's always going to be Sloth. It's always going to be the bad guys. Like, that's who it is. And I was thinking, like, are there a couple movies that absolutely not, that you cannot remake?
Yeah, all of them. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Variety was complaining that nobody's going to the movies anymore. And nobody's going to the movies anymore because all we're doing is remaking old movies. Like, we need new original ideas. As a kid growing up, and maybe you guys can remember or not, I don't know, I don't remember any movie coming out that was a remake of something that was already there. Now, in the 80s, you're doing remakes of like movies in the 60s and the 50s and whatnot, so you can roll your eyes at that. But, I think
if you get outside of like the big box office feature, though, like there's a lot of indie films that are great that are out for like 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden people are like, oh, dude, did you see this? Like, have you ever seen the movie 500 Days of Summer? Fantastic film.
But why are they remaking all of these old movies right now? Because they're trying to grab on the nostalgia for people my age, like, who have the disposable income now, allegedly, in their lives that can go watch this stuff, like, and nostalgia sells.
And
right?
I'm sure you remember this. When I was young, Mac, this was the big thing for me. Like, they did Star Wars. Like, they like CGI'd it. They added things to it. They like brought it back into the theater, right? Like, that's what they did. They just fixed a little bit of stuff. We went and watched it.
I went and watched it. Right? Yeah.
But I think that like the remakes are the ones that like I tend to like zag against. Like, to me, the untouchable movie, never remake It's a Wonderful Life. You just don't do it.
How could you, though?
They'll do it in color and do it with like, that has Timothée Chalamet written all over it. He'll be George. He'll do all that.
No.
Exactly. Just stay away
from
it.
I love, but I don't want that. No.
But you know what? Don't watch it then. Like you have that opportunity. Right. Like Draft Day. We'll never watch it. We'll never see it. We'll never talk about it. Out.
I don't think you could ever remake The Sandlot, even though I think they did.
I thought they tried to.
I think they did with like a female cast. Or at least
that was Ghostbusters.
No, they did that too. And then Shawshank.
Yeah, like, you can't remake that.
Because those movies, I think you could remake, but don't. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't touch it, right? Like, just leave it alone.
Some of them are just part, like Encino Man. You're not remaking Encino Man, right? Like, nobody's remaking that movie. Wasn't that good? Not worthy of a remake. But,
right.
like for me, like, yeah, like Shawshank, I'm not redoing The Green Mile either.
Oh, yeah, you can't touch that.
I mean, that's an all-time classic.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there is one that, you know, John Coffey, like, what a great character. That gentleman has passed away. How are you going to recreate that guy, right? You just can't do that kind of stuff. Somebody put down Major League as well. The first Major League is one of the all-time classics. Field of Dreams, for me, is another movie that I love. I also love A League of Their Own. Like, all of these movies were so good in their original state. Like, could you imagine if they re-released, like, if they did a new Wizard of Oz at this time, or a new...
Get ready for that.
You think that is... I'm sure it is with Wicked and all that. You're probably right. A new Wizard of Oz is probably going to come out, or, you know, like, what if they remake the Titanic or something that? Like, because we're about 25 years since that movie came out, so it's probably time for a remake. But I think that's part of the reason why people aren't going to the theaters as much anymore. Why aren't people going? We've seen all these movies already.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Few parts to that. I think there's Netflix, there's HBO Max, there's Peacock,
there's
Amazon Prime, and there's a lot of movies that are just like Netflix films now. So it's like, not only that, dude, I don't know the last time you've been to the movies. It's expensive. Dude. Like, you get a bag of popcorn and a drink, you're dropping $25.
Yeah, legitimately.
Like, yep. Like, that's why I love going to the whatever the theater is in Lee Summit, like the East Glen, whatever it's called. You can get a 32-ounce tank, $7. Worth it.
No, see, that's the difference, though, between, like, if you're complaining about concession stand prices, which we are, at least at the Royals game, you can bring your own food in, right?
That's
movie
so true,
theater,
right?
You can't do that. At least the Royal, hey, you want to bring in a footlong from Subway, go for it.
And somebody says, hot take, the new Top Gun was better, a little bit better than the first one.
I don't know that it was better, but it was pretty good.
But see,
yeah.
That's not technically a remake.
No, it's not.
That's just like the follow-up that happened 30 years late.
Right.
Like,
right.
And Tom Cruise is still here, and he's great.
Yeah.
And like, looks the same.
Right. I don't know, man. It's just,
yeah. No, I think you're right. The Top Gun, that's a good pull on the text line, but you're right. It wasn't a remake. It was a sequel, if you will, follow-up.
Yeah, it's the one where they do it too long. Like, it's like, could you imagine they try to, like, redo, like, Goodfellas or Casino?
Oh, no, you can't redo those.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
or The Irishman?
I mean, you could remake that. It'd probably be much better.
Maybe better, that is
actually
true.
You don't even need to remake that. Just edit it down to 2.5 hours.
Is there a movie that was so bad you're like, yeah, redo this one to make it better?
Oh, when they did Avatar The Last Airbender, it was really bad. And I would love them to try that again. But I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
What was that Disney movie, Fantasia? Didn't they redo that at one point?
Yeah, they tried that.
Yeah. Gone with the Wind, let's not remake that.
Because
I don't give a damn if they remake that movie.
Somebody said, I rented Gladiator 2 on Amazon for $20, which is a third of the price that it would have cost me and my girlfriend to go to the movies. I think that's the problem with nobody going.
Say that again.
They said they rented Gladiator 2 on Amazon for $20, which was a third of the price for them and his girlfriend and him to go to the movie to watch it. So for $20, they watched the movie where it would have been.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah,
I'm in on that.
I just think the cost plus, like, COVID, I think, killed it too, because, dude, they just released the movies to, like, HBO Max and I was loving it.
And the other thing is too, is that, like, you mentioned Wicked, that just feels like it came out in the theaters yesterday. It's already available
Of course,
on Amazon.
So why go? Why just stay home?
Right.
All right, we got through the first hour. Now it's Chiefs talk from here on out. Hope you're ready. We do have a game in 2 days. We're trying to pace ourselves.
We got to pace ourselves,
stay
man.
Stay focused.
Got an offensive line update of who's going to play left tackle for you coming up, too.
There you go. That's a tease on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.